All right, and we're back. It's been a while, guys. It's been a crazy, hectic, I don't know, month or two. My child doesn't sleep, but we are working on it, so we'll see how many times he wakes up while I try to record this. But I'm here to talk about cloth diapering. It's something I get asked about quite a lot on Instagram in my community, my private communities, because it is something that I think a lot of people are interested in. I think a lot of people are interested in this for good reason. And I want to talk about a little bit about the history of disposable diapers and how they even came to be. I'm going to chat through the environmental impacts, the financial benefits of cloth diapering. I'm also going to talk about the toxic impact of disposable diapers on our kids' health as well. So I hope this is really helpful. So let's talk about, when did the disposable diaper even come to be? Take a guess. It might actually surprise you. So Johnson & Johnson, gotta love them, introduced the first mass marketed disposable diaper in 1948, guys. I know when I first did a little research, I was pretty shocked by this. I thought it was more like the 80s, because let's be honest, most of our parents, when I say our, I'm considered a millennial, I'm 32 years old, were cloth diapered. I know my mom was, and she was born in 1959. So 11 years after disposable diapers came to market, my mom was still cloth diapered. So you have to wonder if a lot of parents were not buying them at the time due to culture or due to cost, you know. It's not something I have delved too deep into, but it is interesting to think about. And then fast forward about 13 years, Procter & Gamble, another biggie we just love, don't we, unveils Pampers. So Pampers came out in 1961. In 1970, American babies went through 350,000 tons of disposable diapers, making up about 0.3% of all municipal waste. Just let that sink in for a second. 1980, American babies went through 1.93 million tons. So it more than tripled in a decade. 1.4% of municipal waste. Now in 1981, a year later, disposables started using super absorbent polymers. We're going to talk about those later. And the size of these disposable diapers, because of these polymers, reduced by 50%. So of course, people saw that as a great invention because now they're less bulky. How fantastic. Now in 1948, Cabbage Patch Kids appear on the first designer diaper. So now we're getting into marketing trends, designing things, like when we put fun little characters and animals on all sorts of junk food to make kids want them. In 1990, disposable diapers now constitute 1.6% of municipal waste. And in the 90s, 7 in 10 Americans say they would support the ban of disposable diapers. In 1990, guys, we are 30 years past that. What happened? So in 91, dueling studies by Procter & Gamble and the National Association of Diaper Services assert the merits of disposables and cloth, respectively. In 1999, Pampers funded pediatrician T. Barry Brazelton and tells parents not to rush toilet training. Interesting. Why would Pampers ever fund that, I wonder? In 2000, diapers compose 2% of municipal waste. Now, from a percentage standpoint, this is where we get really muddy. So people started to go, well, it was only 2% of all waste. So, I mean, is it really that crazy? Well, remember, in 1980, so I was just talking about 2000, in 2000, 20 years ago, mind you, which is crazy to think, it was 2%. Well, when it was only 0.3%, that was 350,000 tons of disposable diapers. So I haven't done the math on that, guys, but now that's 0.3. What is 2%? That's a massive number. So don't let percentages get marketed to you in a way that they shouldn't. In 2005, the ultimate low impact trend for people without shag carpets, elimination communication, i.e. teaching your infant to go diaper free. So that started to take a trend. If you've never looked up EC, it's quite interesting. I appreciate the people out there who do this because I actually can't imagine it. I cloth diaper with the best of them. Cloth diaper both my kids, but wow. EC is some kind of a amazing commitment that people make. All right, now let's go to 2006. American babies wear 3.6 million tons of disposables. Now we're at 2.1% of municipal waste. In 2007, Julia Roberts touts that flushable diapers, with one caveat: if you don't really break it all the way up, it doesn't go all the way down. Touts flushable diapers. Interesting. In 2007, Pampers introduces diapers for kids weighing more than 41 pounds. Mind you, in retrospect, that is the typical age for about a 4 to 5 year old. Now, given obviously there are exceptions to this, but that's about the age of a typical 5 year old. So why would Pampers be making diapers for 5 year olds, guys? What is going on? And early 21st century diapers will finish biodegrading in 2500, guys. Yes, it is true. Scientists estimate that disposable diapers take approximately 500 years to break down, which, if you want to take a second to think about, means that not one single diaper in the history of man, disposable that is, has ever broken down. Since the inception of disposable diapers, they are all still here on Earth with us. How insane. 1948, guys. 1948. Over 70 years. Every single disposable diaper that has ever been made is still on this planet with us. That's mind-blowing. And it should blow all of our minds. So many people, when I tell them these things, don't realize this because we don't think about our trash. We put things in our trash can, we put it out on the curb or drop it to the local bin, and we don't physically see it with our eyes ever again. Except when things like documentaries or specials are done on TV that actually show these trash islands or boats that literally are burning fuel, driving around off of coasts, holding trash. It's actually insane. And the thing about things like disposable diapers that kind of gets me is they came out of a place of people wanting convenience, right? Fair enough. We all want easier lives in one way or another. But here's the thing. Here's the rub. Disposable diapers are completely unnecessary, but the problem is they've been around long enough now that they've absolutely infiltrated culture and society. It's the norm, the quote-unquote norm. So what happens is if you step outside of that norm and do something that used to be the norm, people are like mind-boggled. It's always amazing to me people's reactions about cloth diapering. Now, don't get me wrong, there are definitely a subsect of people who are in the more crunchy granola world who are more so just curious when I tell them about it. But there are so many parents out there who just the thought, it's like they can't wrap their brains around it, which is crazy because most of our parents and grandparents were all cloth diapered. I was talking to my mom one day about it, and she actually called my aunt up because we were talking about the logistics. I was like, well, what did you guys use? Do you remember? My mom is one of eight, has a couple younger siblings. Most of them are older than her. And she was like, I don't know. My siblings actually changed some of our diapers because of the age gap. She was like, let me call my sister and let's ask her about if she remembers what it was like at this time. So we're talking like early 60s at this point in time. And we were talking about wipes. That was the discussion. I was saying like, well, I use cloth wipes because to me, it just makes sense. If you're getting a cloth diaper, in my opinion, it makes sense to use cloth wipes. They're all going to go in the same place in your washing machine. So like why waste, you know, paper towels or anything like that? Again, it's not a judgment against anyone who creates their own disposable wipes, but in my opinion, like, why do it when it's so easy to do cloth? So we were talking about cloth wipes and we were having a bit of debate about them. And I kept telling my mom why I loved them and this and that. And so anyways, we call up my aunt and come to find out, she was like, well, Janie, what did you guys use back then to wipe? You know, like what my mom didn't know, obviously, because she was, you know, little. And my aunt said, well, the way the cloth diapers were back then, they were basically just one giant rectangle, right? And you roll it up a certain way and then you pin it. They safety pinned it at that time. And she was like, so when we unraveled the diaper effectively, we would just take the corners of the diaper and we would use that to wipe the baby. So they didn't even, and I was like, that's actually flipping genius. And you know, she was like, yeah, it was no big deal. And then I was asking her how they cleaned them. And she was like, you just kind of, you know, cleaned them. She's like, you just did what you had to do. You kind of, you know, you got off what you could in the toilet. You scrubbed it either in a sink or a toilet and life went on and you cleaned it. And that was just life. That was what everybody did. And now so many people just can't even fathom touching their kids' poop or pee. That we are willing to absolutely destroy our planet and, mind you, our kids' health over it. And I think it's just a really important topic to be aware of, to be massively aware of, and to spread awareness of. I've been one of the most amazing things. Like, I, you know, it's interesting having an account that I don't even have, you know, a massive following, guys, by any means. And it's amazing to me, in our private community, how many people have become pregnant and are going to cloth diaper or have swapped from disposables to cloth diapers because of me sharing my story and how I do it. And it like brings me great joy to know that I am saving thousands of diapers from going into the landfill because of me sharing about this kind of stuff. Like that, it brings me endless joy because the average baby will use approximately like 7,000 diapers in there from like zero to like two and a half, assuming they are, you know, potty trained in a certain time frame. So approximately 7,000 diapers. So every kid that doesn't get disposable diapered and goes to cloth diapers because of something I taught their parent is massive. And I'm not saying that because I'm like, wow, look what I'm doing. I'm talking about the impact that one person can have. So if you're listening to this and you're cloth diapering, tell your friends, tell your cousins, tell their cousins, tell anyone you can, educate people, because the triple, the magnitude of us multiplying our influence one person at a time, because I can only reach so many people, but when those people are reached, they have circles of people that they can reach, and it just goes on and on and on. And I share about this because it is so massive. And when I had my eyes opened to the reality of disposables, I was just like, I can't do this. There's just no way that I can do disposable diapers knowing all of this. It's like once you know better, you do better, you know? So anyways, that's a little bit of a side tangent. But now that we've talked about a brief history, right? Let's talk a little bit more about the environmental impacts and then I'm going to go into toxins. So disposable diapers, let's talk about some more stats. So not only disposable diapers actually account for a lot of the trash in landfills, even though it doesn't sound like a lot, the tonnage is massive. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, reports that about 20 billion disposable diapers are dumped in landfills each year. 20 billion diapers. Like, how mind-blowing. So The Good Human, a website that is dedicated to discussing environmentalism, actually points out that another impact that people don't think about, 200,000 trees each year are lost to the manufacture of disposable diapers in the U.S. alone. Guys, that's the U.S. That's the U.S. That is not accounting for any of the rest of our planet. So just in the U.S., 200,000 trees alone. Imagine what the stat is when you consider the entire world. So, something that people don't consider also is that it takes 3.4 billion gallons of fuel oil every year to make diapers as well. Massive. So what it comes down to is this. Disposable diapers use 20 times more raw materials, 2 times more water, and 3 times more energy than cloth diapers. I'll say that one more time. 20 times more raw materials, 2 times more water, and 3 times more energy than cloth diapers. So, and then besides depleting those natural resources, manufacturing disposable diapers also uses non-renewable energy resources. So, massive effects on our planet. Let's talk a little bit more about landfills. So, disposable diapers actually need to be exposed to oxygen and sunlight to decompose, but obviously in landfills that rarely happens. So, disposable diapers, like I mentioned earlier, scientists estimate, right, because we haven't lived this long, disposable diapers have only been around 72 years, so 500 years to decompose. That means the millions of tons of untreated waste, right, because it isn't just a diaper going into a landfill, it is a diaper filled with urine and feces going into a landfill, adds to a landfill each year through multiple ways. So plastic diapers, right, because of what's in these diapers, can contaminate groundwater. That's one concern. Then you have to think about the viruses and bacteria, parasites, all sorts of things that can be in baby's feces that could end up leaking into local water supplies because they're on the ground or they're in some other, you know, landfill over the ocean, falling into the ocean, whatever it may be, right? According to Atmospheric Radiation Measurement Program, landfills are known also for producing greenhouse gas emissions, which also contribute to the Earth's climate change. Decomposing diapers release methane into the air, and high concentrations of this gas can be explosive and flammable. Methane is also dangerous to breathe in because it replaces oxygen. This is serious stuff, guys. Like, really serious stuff. But it isn't just the environmental side of things that we need to consider or to think about when it comes to disposable diapers. So let's shift into the toxic underbelly of disposable diapers. All right, let's talk about toxins. My favorite. So, one of the most disturbing things that I learned about disposable diapers wasn't even everything I've shared so far. It was what is actually in them. It's something that I did not think about until I was pregnant with my first and I started to do some researching. I knew someone doing cloth diapering. It had me curious, and actually what got me interested in cloth diapers at the very beginning before I knew anything was the financial aspect of it. You can save thousands of dollars. I believe last time I looked it up, the average that they estimate, which is tricky, right, to make a solid estimation because you can buy a various range of cloth diapers. You could own 20, you could own 50, you could own ones that are $30 a piece or ones that are $8 a piece. So to estimate the savings gets tricky, but they estimate around $2,000 to $3,000 you will save in the lifetime of your child by cloth diapering. And now when you have multiple children and you then pass down those cloth diaperings, obviously the savings just doubles. So we have saved thousands of dollars cloth diapering. And at the time when we went to have our first son, Arlen, or we were expecting him, finances were very tight and I was looking at becoming a stay-at-home mom and, you know, quitting my day job and losing an entire income. So we were looking for ways to save money, and cloth diapering was a way that I knew that I could. So that's actually what got me interested in it, was the financial aspect, which is massive. It's one of the biggest reasons why I tell people to think about it, because even though there is an upfront cost associated with it, right? Like as anything that is reusable, you have to pay for it up front, like a mattress, like a car, like anything. There is an upfront cost. However, once you buy them, you have them and you're done. Like I don't ever have to go to the store for diapers or wipes ever. Never done it in my life. You know, it's just a very different experience. So we don't have that reoccurring cost in our lives. We just had a one-time cost. So anyways, massive benefit there. So that's what got us interested. Now, once I went and took a diapering class and I started to learn about what diapers are made of, my mind was blown. And it actually was one of the things that sent me down the path that I am on about regarding toxins, because I started to think, well, gosh, if these are in diapers and nobody's talking about them, and I've never known this, and I've been a nanny and I've been a babysitter my whole life, and I've just never heard a parent ever talk about this, what else do I not know about? And it was moments like that that brought me to where I am today. So that's why it's so important to me to be sharing these things, because I know that even if only two people ever listen to this podcast, if it changes their lives forever, the multiplication effect again is massive for me. So let's talk about what's in diapers, shall we? So toxic chemicals such as toluene, ethylbenzene, xylene, I think it's pronounced diphenyl, and dioxin, all linked to disposable diapers. Let me just talk to you a little bit about what is in these. So xylene is a neurotoxin. It also has a high toxicity factor for non-reproductive organ systems. It's a lung, skin, and eye irritant. It also has a high occupational hazard, meaning like if you work around it. Toluene is another one that has use restrictions because it can persist in your body and bioaccumulate. It also has a high toxicity for non-reproductive organ systems. It, again, is an irritant to skin, eyes, and lungs. It has an ecotoxicology effect, meaning it affects the environment. And it has contamination concerns, meaning that oftentimes certain chemicals are found to be contaminated with other dangerous chemicals because of like the process that they are put through or how they are made or how we extract them from where we get them from. So that is one that is linked to that. That's just a couple of them, guys. Dioxin is a known human carcinogen, meaning it causes cancer. Yes, cancer in our kids' diapers, neurotoxins in our children's diapers, up against their skin, their largest organ. Let's talk about this too. Because children are little, you have to think about it this way. When adults come into contact with toxins, it's not good either. However, I, as an adult who weigh 140 pounds, am going to be able to handle something much more differently than a baby, right? It's why I might drink an entire sweet tea. Don't worry, I don't do it too often. But I would never give, you know, a 16-ounce drink to a baby, right? So a baby coming into contact with a carcinogen is magnified in a massive way that impacts them at a concentrated rate due to their sheer like nature and size. A little baby that's 7 pounds comes in contact with the carcinogen that I come in contact with, it is going to impact their bodies in a way that is much, much bigger than ours. So like I said, it's terrible when we come in contact with carcinogens. Awful. But think about these babies that are growing at rapid rates and are being put in these diapers. And mind you, this is the thing we have to think about with these diapers. They're on our kids 24/7, guys. This isn't like a plastic bath toy that's, you know, toxic and in our kids' bath water and they're in their baths for 10 minutes, maybe once or twice a week, or maybe you bathe your kids every day. So it's like every day. Like, it's not like 10 minutes a day, guys. This is 24/7 for years of their lives. Most kids are probably trained around 2.5 or 3. 2 to 3 years, your kids have carcinogens and neurotoxins pressed up against their skin, their largest organ that absorbs everything. Please take this seriously. It is monumentally disturbing. Disposable diapers often contain dyes and dioxin, which I mentioned, which is formed as a byproduct of the chlorine bleaching process. So now we have to think about chlorine. We have to think about bleach. Some diapers are bleached with bleach. Some diapers are bleached with chlorine. There's different processes, so it can vary depending on the brand and how they, you know, make those diapers. also incredibly not good for our kids' skin, up against their skin all day long, all night long. And these also too, when they're released into the environment, when we put them into dumpsters and we chuck them into landfills, accumulate in our ground and in our soil, which then goes into plants, which then goes into water, which then goes into humans, and then goes into animals. Maybe it goes into animals that we then eat. Maybe, just maybe, it goes right back into us. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe these kids are wearing these diapers all day long for years, and then it's going into drinking water, local drinking water, and then it's getting into homes, and then they're drinking that again? Like, it's just, where does it end? It's crazy. Let's talk about the magic gel or powder that absorbs 10 times your baby's weight, right? That's what we see in commercials. So super absorptive. And we have these adorable little babies just marching around, their cute little diapies on the commercials, right? Super absorbent, so you don't have to deal with your kid leaking into their pajamas in their beds and waking you up a million times at night. And we think, wow, yes, amazing. Horrible. The stuff that is super absorbent, gelling materials, is usually something called sodium polyacrylate, which is linked to an increase in childhood asthma and a decrease in sperm count among boys. As a mama of two boys, highly disturbing. This is actually one of the things I learned about at the very beginning in a cloth diapering class. I went to an educational class and I was pregnant with a boy. And I went in there, and when she said that my son's future children or his future fertility and ability to have children could be impacted by the years that he spends in disposable diapers, my life was forever changed. Forever changed. Sodium polyacrylate has been linked in the past to toxic shock syndrome. Most people, when they hear about TSS, it is in relation to tampons, not just in tampons, guys. Allergic reactions, and is very harmful and potentially lethal to pets. Some dyes and dioxin, according to the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, are known to cause damage to the central nervous system, to our kidneys, and to our livers. Yes, these are in diapers. This is in diapers. The FDA has received reports that fragrances in disposables, because we love to put synthetic fragrance in everything to make the diapers smell better, to make our trash bags smell better, they cause headaches, dizziness, and rashes. You join a local mom's Facebook group, and one of the things that kills me the most is when I see moms talking about extreme diaper rash, showing pictures of extreme, like their kids have been chemically burned by disposable diapers, and they don't understand that that's what's happening. They're like, oh, it's just because we haven't changed the diapers enough. Oh, it's because we can't keep them dry. Oh, let's just slap a toxic paste on their bottoms, triple X paste or fill in the blank, Desitin. Let's add that layer of toxins to our kids. And they don't realize what's happening. So please take that. I'm not saying this in judgment at all, but it kills me that this message is not being spread and that there are kids who are getting chemically burned by their diapers and their parents don't understand that that's actually what's happening. And people don't want to hear it. They don't want to, because so many people use disposable diapers. They're like, no, that can't be it. These wouldn't be on the market. These wouldn't be safe. This couldn't be happening if that's what was happening to my kid. Yes, yes, this is what's happening to your kid. Problems reported to the Consumer Protection Agency regarding disposable diapers include chemical burns, noxious chemical and insecticide odors, babies pulling disposables apart and putting pieces of plastic into their noses and mouths, choking on tab papers and linings, plastic melting onto the skin, and ink staining the skin. Guys, guys, what is the world coming to? What has the world been? These have been on the market for 72 years. And the majority of Americans, it is estimated that around 90%, at least of Americans, still use disposable diapers. For what? For convenience, so you don't have to touch poop? Newsflash. Newsflash to every human out there. If you have a baby, you will be touching poop. Whether you use disposables or cloth diapers, you will be touching poop, guys, promise. And guess what? My friends who use disposable diapers have blowouts constantly. I see people complaining about their kids wetting the bed, poop blowouts all the time. Guess what never happens with my disposable diapers? I mean, my cloth diapers. Blowouts. It doesn't happen. I don't have them. Arlen, I cannot remember a single time that Arlen ever had a blowout. Ever. Cloth diapers are sturdy. They're layers of cloth. They're fitted. They're called fitted diapers. They're fitted. And as long as you get diapers that fit your child and you're using the proper ones, you're not going to have issues, guys. You'll actually be touching less poop in a lot of ways. And with wonderful inventions like the Spray Pal, I clip my diapers to a board, and I'll do a whole other episode on cleaning and the ones I use and all of that. I clip on it into a board, and it has like a little shield on it. Look it up, spraypal.com. You can get them on Amazon too, and a hose that attaches to our toilet. Guys, I don't touch poop. Like, I really don't. Please don't let the convenience factor impact the health of your child, most importantly, and the health of our planets. Our planet. Sorry, not planets. But who knows? We probably are affecting other planets. So I wanted to do this episode for a long time. I think it's so important to be spreading awareness on the environmental impact and the toxic impact on our children, our planet, animals, our groundwater, everything. It's so incredibly important. I'm not going to get too much into recommended brands or things like that, but I will say if you choose cloth diapers, it's still important to choose organic fibers, guys. Pesticides and herbicides are real. Microfiber diapers are oftentimes like polyester fabrics and things like that. Guys, those are plastic. Those are toxic. Please don't fall for that. They're better in a way than disposables, right? Because they're reusables, but they're not better from a toxic perspective. So I do use Thirsties diapers, and they are organic cotton and hemp. You can get organic bamboo diapers. Organic cotton and hemp are fantastic. They absorb really well, really, really well. So I just want to encourage you to do your research when it comes to choosing cloth diapers too, because organic does matter. You don't want pesticides and herbicides in those diapers either. And you also don't want to be using, in my opinion, synthetic fibers. Also, synthetic fibers are not nearly as absorbent and don't work as well. They are cheaper and less expensive, but if you prioritize this, if you save, if you add them to your baby registry, if you get used, and yes, you can get used diapers, it is not unsafe. It is absolutely safe to do so. You can, you know, hand down diapers to other people. That's the beauty of it, guys. It's absolutely environmentally impactful to make these decisions. But definitely the one thing I will say is to consider the source and consider what your diapers are made out of and that they're organic. So I hope that you have found this information enlightening. I hope you take some time to educate others. And if you're expecting to think about decisions that you have to make that could impact your wallet and your finances and benefit you greatly, impact your child's health massively, and impact your environmental footprint, guys. These things matter. And if we want our kids to grow up in a world where they can breathe and where their soil isn't destroyed any more than it already is, and that they don't have leukemia at the age of 6 because we are just covering them in toxins from heads to toes, let's do better when we know better. So if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me at The Detoxed Life on Instagram. You can always email me at hello, H-E-L-L-O, at Kelly Ann Carpenter. That's Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y-A-N-N, carpenter.com. I am always happy to chat things toxin-free. Thanks for sticking around. Spread the word. Share this episode. I hope to be on more platforms soon. Just waiting on the green light that the podcast has been spread to other platforms as well. But thank you for wherever you are listening from. I'm out, guys. Until next time.